The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Kevin Stanfield and Claude Jennings, who are entirely responsible for its content.
Sorry, guys, you are on your own.
This is the Federal Football Report, a weekly wrap-up of all things burgundy and gold. The Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. Here are your hosts, Kevin Stanfield and Claude Jennings.
It's the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, online at federalnewsradio.com. I'm Claude Jennings. He's Kevin Stanfield in studio after the Washington Redskins lose in New England. Well, I guess in Foxborough, right? I mean, you say New England. That covers
They lost all of it. It doesn't matter. They lost every part of New England.
Yeah. 27-10 to the New England Patriots. The Patriots 8-0. Skins fall to 3-5. You know, Kevin, here's one thing. Yeah, Skins 3-5. I can't believe it's already the eighth week of the season so far. It's like the season's just flying by. 8 weeks already. Doesn't seem like it, does it?
It's like, I don't know, like, I don't know how many gamblers we have listening to us, but it's like a roulette wheel, and it's just spinning. The season's
exactly
just spinning
like
in the same spot right over and over and over again.
So again, 27-10, the Redskins lose to the Patriots to fall to 3-5. And so we're going to talk about the game. Now, look, we try to come at, you know, this show with, you know, just try to be as unique as possible. You know, just kind of the takes that we think you may not hear often. I try to be the voice of reason many of these shows, okay? I just try to be the voice of reason to kind of put things in perspective. And when I look at this game, I just want to say this. Here's the perspective,
all
Kevin.
Right. Okay, all right. I'm
when
ready.
You look at the schedule, and you see New England on it, and this is before the season starts.
Right.
Already know that's going to be a tough game to win. If you're doing the W's and the L's on the schedule before the season starts, you put an L there because you figure that's going to happen. Then we get into the season and we see that New England's playing lights out. Now they're playing, you know, better than they played the season when they went undefeated, when Randy Moss was there and Tom Brady was putting up all these, you know, ridiculous numbers.
Right.
And so you go into this game. And I understand you hope against hope and, you know, we're all pros and all that other stuff. But you figure this is going to be a loss.
Right.
I just want to be the voice of reason.
I'm with you.
And you say this is probably going to end with an L. Now, how that L happens, I don't, you know, that's why they play the game.
I'm with you.
But you figure it's going to be.
I follow you.
So when fans are, you know, assessing what happened and how this plays on your emotional, you know, ups and downs with this team, don't carry this loss too heavy because it's the Patriots 7-0 in New England beating the Redskins. Like, that's okay. I mean, not that it's okay to lose, but you figure that's going to happen before the season. Then you see how the Patriots are playing this year, and that's pretty much what you would assume would happen.
Well, I must commend you, man, because that was a very logical, well thought, reasonable expectation. It was very. Now, let me tell you the truth. The truth is, these boys were scared. Now, let me say this. I apologize, team. I don't mean frightened like they thought there was going to be some type of physical damage, but they said like they were very, very reluctant to play the Patriots. It was like they were so tight.
Right.
It was like the first 10 pass attempts, 7 of them were dropped. Just this, plain drops.
And see, this is where you get upset. Not even about the loss, because again, you say you look at the schedule, you figure it's going to be L. That's not even where you get upset. To me, you have a bye week.
Hmm?
And the team came out, like you said, flat. They came out unprepared. Like, just kind of the moment was too big for them. Not that it's a Super Bowl game or a playoff game. It's a regular season. This is week 8.
Regular season game.
Well, week 9, we had the bye. So this is the 8th game of the season in New England. How is this moment too big for you? If you're a professional, and they came out, I mean, drop passes after drop passes, then the Kirk Cousins interception, finally an interception that didn't seem to be his fault.
Yeah.
And I mean, how in the way? And couldn't get a running game established at all. But we'll talk about the offense and defense in the second segment
of the show. The whole atmosphere was just wrong, man. It was wrong. Well, and I have a theory about that because, you know, last week we knew what was happening. It was just pure desperation.
Did you order the Code Red?
And see, they ordered the Code Red last week. And that's everybody got up. Everybody, as far as they could, they won by 1 point.
Right.
You know. But after that, after the emotional outburst. Did you like that? Did you like that? After that emotional outburst, the coaching staff had a job to do.
Right.
That job was to get ready for...
We still have to play in two weeks, gentlemen.
Big time, right? They have to get ready. We had to play the best team in the league, the best quarterback in the league. This is your... This is what should have happened. This is your opportunity to show them what you got.
Right.
We saw that. We saw your character when you came back and destroyed that ferocious Tampa Bay team. We saw that. This is your chance to prove to the world who you really are. Unfortunately, they did.
Or at least show up. You know what I mean? Like, you play the game, catch the ball, make it competitive at some point during the game. I mean, even if the first half is competitive and in the second half they run away with it, whatever it is.
Right.
Like, at some point in the game or at some facet of the game, make this thing competitive. And it wasn't competitive in any facet of the game at all for the Skins.
It was kind of sad because it was obviously that the Patriots were the cat and the Burgundy and Gold were the mouse. And they were just playing with them. First, let me say this, because I got to get this out. I hate this new concept of you winning the toss and deferring and kicking the ball. I hate
that.
Yeah, I hate it. Number one, you're going to say, oh, why don't I start out by giving the ball to the best player in the league? You know, the whole
concept. Wasn't a good decision in this game to do that. No, especially when I'm not sure even if your defense is the strongest.
Right, right. But anybody, the whole concept of ball control is to keep the ball out of the hands of the other team. You're going to start out saying, we thinking we can stop you. We're going to put our defense on the field against you, and we'll get you in the third quarter. Let me remind you now, the third quarter has been their downfall, except for the Tampa Bay game.
Right.
They have been putrid in the third quarter. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to give the best player in the league the ball, mm-hmm. and we'll take it out in the best, you know, the worst third quarter in the history of the NFL.
We'll get the ball on offense in the third quarter when we're naturally bad, maybe the game will already be out of hand.
We'll spot you a touchdown because we know Brady's going to score. Right. We don't care about Gronkowski. We don't care about Edelman. We don't care about Blunt. We're going to give you the ball.
No,
stop that, please. Stop it. Okay, I'm sorry.
So funny. You're listening to the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. I'm Claude Jennings. He's Kevin Stanfield, the angry Kevin Stanfield. The Redskins lose 27-10.
Angry, concerned.
In New England. Skins now 3-5 on the year. The Patriots 8-0 on the year. And so, again, when we look at the game, the biggest thing that stood out to me was the fact that coming off of a bye week, I just expected more pop. You know what I mean? Especially after an emotional win like that. And I think it was a good thing that you had the bye week after that big emotional win, because I thought that the bye week would then protect them from the letdown. You know, you have this big emotional win, and then you come out the next week really flat. I figured they didn't have that next game that following week, so you have 2 weeks to kind of come down off of it to get your heads wrapped around having to face Tom Brady and the Patriots, and then they came out, and again, I understand the notion that, some of those balls, you know, should have been caught. I mean, there were a lot of drop passes, but I do not think that if those passes are caught, all of a sudden the Redskins are in this game with a chance to win. I mean, there was no pop on defense, and I understand you're playing Tom Brady, and it's hard. But at the same time, you've got to see heart. You know what I mean?
Right.
You've got to see heart, and you got to see effort on the field. I just didn't see it.
How many times, especially in track, do you see an athlete who runs just fast enough to win? Mm-hmm. That's all the Patriots were doing. They had this thing on cruise control. They had basic offense, and they decided to use some innovations, man. They have a tight end who was like 6'8", 350, right? He has a tight end number on, but he's really an offensive tackle, right? They put him in. They go three tight end sets. Sometimes they run, which they were pretty effective at doing. Sometimes they pass. It's not just Tom Brady now. It's Bill Belichick that you're dealing with as well. And Belichick knew he's a brilliant man in football strategy, man. He looked and saw what he was dealing with the Burgundy and Gold and said, okay, this is how we beat him. The last time, I don't know what was happening last time. Last time he ran the score up. The last time they played the Burgundy and Gold, I believe it was 52-10.
Uh-huh.
I believe it was 52-10. Mm-hmm. So whatever happened then, he proved his point. So whoever, whether it was against the organization, maybe it was about changing the name or whatever, right? He proved his point. That's what I thought was going to happen today. I was happy that they just said, okay, let's take it easy. But I think it was a golden opportunity here, and I think for whatever reason, like you said, the fact that they came out flat and apparently unprepared or you know, a little bit timid, I think they had a lot to do with it, and you saw the end result.
Yeah, just seemingly not ready to play. Now, you know, and we'll talk about this maybe a little further when we talk about the offense, but one of the bright spots that I saw was that drive the Redskins had right before the end of the first half where they put together that long drive, ended in a field goal. I mean, you want a touchdown there, you know, because you need points, obviously. But they, even though being down 17-0, they if they started to run the ball in that drive, I think Matt Jones only had one carry up to that point. And then in that drive itself, he had six or seven carries. And so even though being down 17 points, they renewed kind of a commitment to the run. And you figure, okay, so they put points on the board. They'll come out in the second half. Hopefully they'll get things going. And then you've got, you know, the same guy. We just give the credits for Matt Jones fumbles the ball and installs that drive. And it felt like that stopped any kind of momentum you hope to have that the Skins were able to put together a rally, and then it was right back to the same old, you know, dry third quarter.
Side note here, you notice immediately after you fumbled the ball, they yanked him out of the game.
All of a sudden, out from the let's get the other guy in here to run.
That's how you reward your players. That's how you show you got confidence in them.
Right, no, exactly. That's a bad move. Okay, you fumble and you make a mistake, you're still the guy, and you know, and you keep that guy in. You can't just, and again, we talk about this all the time. I don't know how you expect these guys to get rhythm and to get into the flow of the game if every, you know, two or three plays they're getting taken out in favor of the other guy. There was a point in the fourth quarter, I don't understand, because the game was over for the most part at that point, but the television, we were watching the Fox coverage, the guys just started talking for almost 8 minutes about Tom Brady and about the kind of diet he's on and how he's all about, you know, his whole exercise routine. He doesn't lift weights anymore. It's all about the elasticity of the muscle and making it as soft as possible so nothing strains or breaks. Like, they didn't call any of the plays, the play-by-play guys, but they brought up something that was kind of cool. They went back to the 2000 draft and talked about the quarterbacks that were drafted in that draft. Obviously, Tom Brady in the sixth round. Here are some of the quarterbacks that were in that round. I found it interesting. Chad Pennington, who had a great career, you know, in New York, had, you know, a kind of a weak arm and a shoulder that ended his career, but he played very well. Chris Redmond, remember him? Baltimore, remember Chris?
Barely remember Redmond.
Chris
barely.
Redmond, yeah.
As a matter of fact, I think Redmond actually has a ring at Baltimore, I think.
Probably so. Backup. I think that was, what, rookie year for him?
Yeah, it might have been.
Where they won that one. And then also T. Martin from Tennessee. Remember T. Martin? Man.
Is he like a work release now or something?
Really? Oh, man. So these are all guys drafted before Brady. T. Martin in the fifth round, Redmond in the third, Brady in the sixth, obviously. Mark Bulger was drafted that round, had a great career.
Yeah.
Spurgeon Wynn from Texas State University, sixth round. I'm not even sure who that is. Tim Rattay, seventh round. Joe Hamilton from Georgia Tech. So, yeah, that was one of the worst drafts for quarterbacks in the history of the NFL.
Yeah, a lot of brilliant football minds missing on that one. Huh?
Right, but you got some could argue the best quarterback in the league.
So that's another thing. Let me say this now. So if you ever listen to any football show and they tell you, the fan, that you guys don't know, that you just don't know, you're not in the meetings, you're not in the locker room, don't think that these guys are geniuses now, because it's obviously that they don't know either. They're guessing just like everybody else is. So that's why I respect the opinion of fans, because the fans have just as much right to make a logical decision based on the fact that these guys, they're more experienced, doesn't mean that they're any better at it.
Well, and they may be able to look at film and say, okay, this is the play that they were trying to run, the safety dropped, and this is why this guy made this decision. But when you're looking as a fan, you know when a guy has an arm, and when he can throw that ball, you know when he can look down and check down. You know when a running back has vision or not. You know when a wide receiver is fast enough. And so, like you said, these guys are guessing just the same way, you know, that we are. You see first round busts all the time. There are guys who thought Jamarcus Russell would be one of the best quarterbacks ever, going to revolutionize the position. He's this big guy, and he is not in the NFL now, and he couldn't play when he was in it. And so, yeah, you're right. These guys are guessing all the time. And so, yeah, you know, respect the fans' opinion. And that's what we do here on this show, the Federal Football Report. We respect the fans. I mean, we don't know anything about football. We just talk about
that's
it.
Right,
on
that's
this,
right.
On this show.
Look, often wrong, never in doubt. That's right.
Exactly. 27-10 is the score. The Patriots fall to the Redskins. Coming back on the other side of the break, we're going to talk about the offense and the defense, or the lack thereof of offense and the lack of defense. Stay close to the Federal Football Report.
You've been thinking about switching to solar. Don't wait much longer, or you'll miss out on this year's federal tax credit. Move quickly, because the tide is turning. Solar power is becoming a threat to big energy profits. In fact, some power companies are even pushing for extra fees to make up for lost revenue. Warning, you must have your solar system up and running by midnight December 31st, or you'll miss out on this year's federal tax credit. Energy prices are expected to increase by as much as 40% in the near future. Go solar now with no down payment, interest, or payments for a whole year. You can afford it because we finance. Get your government money and save big every month. Big Energy is getting nervous and the door of opportunity is about to slam shut. Paying $150 a month or more on energy bills? Then call 1-800-MY-SOLAR now for a free in-home assessment. 1-800-MY-SOLAR.
My home, my savings. 1-800-MY-SOLAR.
You know what ruins a family camping trip? Staying zipped in the tent because of ragweed pollen, the number one cause of fall allergies. Allegra gets you back in the fun by relieving your worst indoor and outdoor symptoms, even at 8 times high pollen levels. Allegra's non-drowsy relief starts in 1 hour and stays strong for 24. Camping is for bonding, not sneezing. So get Allegra, stop suffering, and start living.
Use only as directed in controlled environment studies using pollen deemed high by the National Allergy Bureau. Visit Allegra.com.
Geico RV presents Reflections from the Road.
I love the great outdoors and saving money. So I made the easy switch to Geico RV insurance.
Which was a whole lot easier than eating my wife's cooking for a week.
Rob, I can hear you.
Sometimes I think she can read my thoughts.
Yeah, you were thinking about Geico RV insurance.
Man, she's good.
Well, you are saying everything out loud.
I meant to do an internal monologue.
Geico, for your RV, trailer, or camper. See how much you could save.
Now, back to the Federal Football Report with Claude and Kevin. You know, they asked me to read this, but did they invite me to be on their dopey show? Of course not. The nerve of some people. Come on, guys. I like football, too.
Welcome back to the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio and federalnewsradio.com. The Washington Redskins lose to the New England Patriots 27-10 to go to 3-5 on the season. The Patriots, of course, undefeated, 8-0 on the season. And so what we want to do this segment is kind of break down the offense and the defense. And here's the thing, and it kind of ties into what at least what I was saying in the last segment, is that it's going to be kind of tough to be too hard on the offense and the defense, really, because even though you look at the score, 27-10, it didn't seem like it was that even that close. But at the same time, it all comes down to expectations. I mean, you know, this is not the Tampa Bay Buccaneers here. These are the New England Patriots. And so as we do this analysis, you know, for me, and I don't know, we'll see what Kevin has to say about it, it's going to be a little tough to be too hard on them, basically based on my expectations going into the game. What do you think about that, Kevin?
I think that you got to have, you know what? Maybe I'm just looking at it unrealistically, man. I think that you have to have an attitude that, you know how they blasted RG3 when he said, you know, when I get into a situation, I think I'm the best quarterback in the league.
Mm-hmm. That's the kind of attitude you have to have going into this game.
I can understand that. I think if you don't have the attitude, you automatically lost.
Right.
And I think that it looked like Kirk had that attitude. I don't know. You might want to get into a little bit more in-depth analysis of what was happening before I blast you with this one. But yeah, coming out, you know, we already said how I felt, you know, offensively about them not wanting the ball first. Mm-hmm. Giving the ball. I want the ball first on offense. I want to show them what I got. It's my job to pound you to submission. Right.
Right. Right.
You know, but I think that attitude-wise, something just had to change. You know, we can blame all the 11 players on the field, or we can look at the leadership aspect of it, but let's I think you being the voice of reason here, let's at least, you know, before I go off on a tangent, let's at least remain within the realms of realism and right. You explain what really happened.
To explain what actually really happened.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's take a look at some stats right quick for the Redskins. So Kirk Cousins, 22 of 40 for 217 yards, one touchdown, one interception. That touchdown came late, and the Patriots were seemingly mad about that touchdown.
Yeah, how about this? Good for them.
Yeah, I mean, that's called competing until the end. The game is
right.
going on. We don't want you to score.
That's
we
right.
want to pitch shutouts. And so it's so funny because even watching the game, we were just thinking, you know, Belichick's going to find something to get upset about, some reason to get mad. And then the Skins go down the field on that late drive in the fourth quarter, mm-hmm. score a touchdown. Well, there it is. That's what he's going to get upset about right there. So that's where that one touchdown came from. Matt Jones, 11 carries, 27 yards. And again, He had that great drive to end the first half that unfortunately only ended in 3 points. But then he comes right back out in the much criticized deferred possession, and then it's fumbled.
Yeah.
You know, and then so you know, yeah, we'll give you the ball first, Mr. Brady, and then we'll take it in the third quarter, and then and fumbled. And so there were only two drives in the third quarter, if I remember correctly. There was that drive, and then the Patriots held the ball so long, scored off of that, and then there was the it was a 3-and-out that next drive, and that was just a horrible possession. The Patriots get the ball back, another long drive.
A horrible possession when they needed a good possession. Yeah. They needed to establish themselves. They needed to say, okay.
Let's slow things down a bit. Let's get some traction under us.
Yeah. Now, we have to at least comment on the number of drops. Some drops were contested. The interception was hit Garcon off the shoulder pad. There was a drop the tight end Carrier had was wide open going down the sideline with room to run. A big lumbering tight end who's supposed to be a blocking tight end. They were dropping the ball, which I made an off-color comment about them being afraid. But they were obviously tight. They were obviously like, you know, the code red, it was, you know, the emphasis was put upon how important it was in this game. But I don't know if they ever thought they could win this one.
Right.
I don't know if they thought that, hey, if I catch this pass, it means more to us winning than anything. I don't know if they were ever there with that. And I don't want to blame Kirk, but at some point, Kirk has to realize it's not about completing the pass. Mm-hmm. It's about being the leader of that team. Even if you're having the worst game as a pro, it's about making these guys believe that they're going to win.
Right.
You know, and Kurt didn't do that. I didn't see a lot
of
that.
Not only
that,
but then it's also, it seems like it's also like some sort of accountability. Like, I did not see any kind of fire on the sidelines. Like, yo, you have to hold on to that ball. When Kurt puts that ball in your hands, you've got to catch it and you've got to hold on to it. I didn't see that from anybody. I mean, look, you look at certain, there are certain players who get real fiery on the sidelines and guys are kind of down on them like they should, you know, it seems unseemly or whatever. But those are guys who are passionate about people. That's accountability from your teammates or from your coaches. A lot of times that will come from a quarterback that's grabbing guys by the face mask like, man, you got to hold on to that ball. You know, I'm getting you the ball, especially in a game like this, where if you are going to have a chance, every single opportunity means something.
And
every single opportunity to advance the ball down the field to get a first down means something. And there was, it seemed to be no one, and I'm not just saying scream for screaming purposes, but someone to get in folks' face and say, hey, we've got to be held accountable for doing what we're supposed to do.
Now, that at one time was DeSean Jackson on this team, but he's dealing with his own set of issues. He's got to get back into football shape. This is basically game one of the preseason for DeSean Jackson right now. And your quarterback, you depend on your quarterback for that leadership. You want him to get into the guy's face. Back, you know, give you, I always give you a little history lesson here. Back in the day, Sonny Jurgensen would say he throw a ball to a receiver, receiver drop it. He would come back to the huddle. He said, look, I'm going to keep throwing it to you until you catch it. So it's not on me. It's on you. Right? You know, you got to do whatever it takes to get into that guy's head to make him realize some guys can't take being yelled at. Des Bryant, for instance, will go off on the sideline. But he's a fiery competitor, right? Kurt has to be that fiery competitor. He's got to be the same guy he was coming out off the field the other day yelling at the camera.
Right.
He's got to be that in the receiver's face.
And here's the thing. I mean, you know, and it's so funny. Because anytime someone talks about Des Bryant and yelling on the sideline, it just reminds me of that. I think it was last year, maybe 2 years ago, where he's yelling on the sidelines and he's screaming, and folks are just down on him because, you know, he's too hot tempered and blah 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 blah. And then the audio comes out, and he's actually trying to encourage people to do. And so when we talk about being fiery, we're not talking about tearing people down.
Right.
Nobody is sitting there saying, Jamison Crowder, you're the worst player in this league. In the future. No one's saying anything like this. It's like, you know, remind them. You know, you made plays before for this team. This team needs you to make these plays. You can do this. You know, you're a star. You're in the league. You're a professional. You're here, and this is what we do. Step up for the moment. It's encouraging with that fire, and that's what I love when you mentioned the whole thing about the Des Bryant. I mean, you look at it, and you think these guys are just tearing people down. They're not tearing anybody down. He's trying to encourage his teammates to play better. You can do this. You're a star. We can win this.
And that's what it should have meant when they told Kirk, this is your team now. We don't have to worry about it. We're deactivating RG3. That's That's not verbally telling him it's his team, but it's true.
Yeah, we've got a sweatshirt here. We're saving money on the dry cleaner bill on his uniform.
Here in shoes. Don't worry. He's not coming in. And say, if something happens to Colt McCoy, we'll have to have Pierre Garçon play quarterback or something. Don't worry. This is your team. Now, to be his team, he's going to have to take that responsibility.
Right.
It's not the coach's job, which it is to a certain extent. It's not the coach's job. You're the coach on the field. You're the general. When you go in that huddle, these guys got to look at you. This came from a what's that football movie, the one with Al Pacino and Jamie Foxx?
Any Given Sunday.
It's not about us anymore. Yeah. when you go in that huddle, those guys look in your eyes. They got to know. They got to believe what you're saying, right? You know?
Yeah.
And it's not about Kurt saying, oh, well, you dropped one. You know, Kurt is going to have to say, you know, say, look, you're making me look bad. You know, whatever it takes to lead this team, it's not about stats. It's not about completions. It's about, you know, it's about wins.
Right.
It's about wins. And they got to realize that winning is better than losing. It's not, you know, they don't get any trophies for a good effort. None.
Right. And that's the thing. I mean, in a game like this, again, your window of your margin for error is very, very, very small. You can't afford this many drop passes because who knows? You could look up at the clock in the third quarter, and as opposed to being down by 14 points or by 17 points, you're only down by 7 points. You know what I mean? Or only down by 10 points. And you're like, wait a minute, we're still in this game. You know, but your window of your margin for error is so small that you can't have that many drop passes, especially that many drop passes where it's not like you've got the ball and then you get blasted by some safety or some linebacker and you drop it. I mean, this ball hitting you right in the hands. Right. Nobody's around you and you're dropping it. Back to the stat sheet. Matt Jones, 11 for 27. Alfred Morris, 4 carries, 10 yards.
Four carries
for Alfred Morris.
Why'd they even bother, man? You know, why'd they even bother? Why do that to Alfred?
Right.
You know?
No, absolutely. Especially, like, again, when you're trying to get these guys in some type of rhythm, you know, you need to get them the ball more than just 11 carries for Matt Jones, 4 carries for Alfred Morris.
Yeah, so let's just let Matt Jones start the game, whatever reason. If you think that Matt Jones is a better player, he's your running back. And Alfred, you've been demoted, you got beaten out. Maybe that'll make Alfred try harder in practice if it's his fault. Maybe it's the offensive line. Maybe we'll know. Maybe the holes aren't there long enough for Alfred to do it. Maybe it's a transition from that zone blocking scheme to a more aggressive scheme. But that's not right. That's just not right.
Well, and here's the thing. It's another point is that, you know, this is the 8th game of the season. And, you know, these guys, these coaches are getting paid a lot of money to make these decisions, to come up with these schemes, to do all this stuff. By now, you have seen that whatever it is you're trying to do with these two backs is not being as productive as you want it to be. By now, you know that, okay, you know, splitting these carries between Alfred Morris and Matt Jones, it's not working out the way we want. Now, maybe they've got some master plan in their mind, but it hasn't shown up on the field in 8 games. At some point, again, we talked about this coaching staff's inability to seem to make adjustments. For some reason, they can't seem to make an adjustment here with the running game. And I've refuse to believe that there's something wrong with Matt Jones. Like, he can't carry the ball. He clearly is a good back in this league. I refuse to believe Alfred Morris can't run the ball. We've seen him do well. And for all the flaws that this offensive line, for all the criticism the offensive line has taken over the last 2 or 3 years, maybe, they have played pretty good this season, especially with run block. I mean, even in pass protection with this pass game, they did a pretty good job pass protect. So it's not like the line can't run block. They've done extremely well this year in stretches doing it when they actually run the ball. And it's not like these two backs can't run. What is it with this coaching staff that will make them keep doing the same thing over and over and over and over again that doesn't work? The pieces seem to be in place.
Yeah, well, you know, you talk to these 26 coaches, however many they got, right? You know, you talk to them, they got to get on one accord. And you're right. I agree totally. The offensive line has been doing better because it's been a point of emphasis. I mean, they draft Sheriff early. That seems to be working out. It's going to be a work in progress. Poor Morgan Moses, Chandler Jones just ran by him one time before he even got his stance. He was in the backfield, right? He said, it's like, hey, wait a minute, I know the snap count. This other guy doesn't even know the snap count. He's behind me already. But, you know, and the Reavers was playing. I don't know if he knows where he is right now because whatever play that was, that he had his helmet ripped from his head and he was all bloody and dazed.
He was having hot snaps and all.
But he was a warrior out there today. Mm-hmm. You know, they did the best they could. And Kirk had time. It was just a matter of getting that offensive rhythm. It's a matter of whatever it was that was in common. It wasn't like it was one guy dropping the ball all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It was like maybe maybe these guys were wound a little bit too tight. Maybe, you know, after a bye week, you know, the philosophy of a bye week never, you know, there's no solid thing. Some teams like to rest their players. There was a controversy a few years back when a couple of the team went, like, they went to the islands on the week off and stuff like that, right? Tweeting and stuff, and people are complaining, you should be here, you should be working. You tell me you get 2 weeks off, you're not going to, you know, do whatever you want to do.
You got two weeks off and you've got millions of dollars. What are you going to do?
Yeah, they have
around
to,
the house and,
you know, what I don't know what Gruden's philosophy is. They love that underneath root the Crowder, and Crowder's been catching most of them. That doesn't really go anywhere, though. It's an underneath route. That's a route dependent on deep passing to clear out the linebackers and clear out the intermediate coverage, and you come underneath. Mm-hmm. But that the route shrinks as the field. As you get close to the end zone, mm-hmm. they can't do that. They got to come up with something different. You know, this is the offensive Sean McVay is only 26, 27 years old. He needs experience.
Right.
Right. You know, just like the game experience or just football experience, he has not had that much. Mm-hmm. You know, he's getting it and is, you know, on the job. And who knows, down the road, he may be a brilliant football mind like Belichick. But right now, we just, you know, we're getting what we're getting with the offense.
Yeah, it's the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and also federalnewsradio.com. I'm Claude Jennings. He's Kevin Stanfield. The Redskins lose to the Patriots 27-10 in Foxborough to fall to 3-5. The Patriots still undefeated at 8-0. Not much worth talking about the receivers. Again, we talked about the 7 drops, so there's no need to go over any other stats. That's the most important stat for any of the receivers. Yeah. But I will say DeSean Jackson back, 3 catches for 15 yards. Didn't seem to, again, it's going to take him a while to get back into form. And so you just hope that as he's doing that, he's able to stay healthy, you know, play the rest of the year. Again, a decently healthy year so far, it seems, for Jordan Reed, you know, knock on wood. And so,
yeah, he's only out one time so far. Yeah.
For one game. And so now we'll switch our attention over to the defense. Again, it gets back to expectations. What did you expect coming into the game? And, you know, we look at Brady. You know, you've got Gronk. You expected it to be a long day for the defense. And the Patriots, I mean, again, like you said, Kevin, it seemed like they were on cruise control. Let's start this game. Let's get this W and let's go home. They really, really pounded the ball against the Redskins. And so what are your thoughts before we jump into some stats on the defense?
It's kind of hard to say I had anticipated a decent plan. You know, you got to admit, several people have schemed against the Patriots trying to stop Gronkowski, right? You put an extra man on Gronkowski, and then they unleash the LeGarrette Blount on you, and then you try to move safeties up to stop Blount, and then they'll unleash Edelman on you, right? They make Edelman start to look like Fred Biletnikoff out there, right? You know, where was this guy 2 years ago? He's been on the team for 8 years.
Yeah.
Where has he been, right? You know, so I can't say I'm disappointed with their effort. I thought that the one thing that you got in Tom Brady's history is he doesn't like to get hit.
Right.
So I figured, this is what I figured. I figured if you came out, hit him early, this is what's going to happen.
Let him hurt back.
Yeah.
Now he's worried. You cut it. You hurt it. You see, he's not a machine. He's a man.
See, I thought that's what they were going to say.
He's a man.
He doesn't like to get hit. And defensive players love hitting people. You know, so I figured if they would just hit him a couple of times, they'd rattle him. Then they did. Mm-hmm. They got to him a few times. He threw an interception. Keenan Robinson picked one
only
up,
his second interception this season, too.
That's right. That's right. So that's something that they got to hang their heads on. Whatever they did at that particular time worked.
Right.
It worked. And unfortunately, the offense couldn't sustain anything to keep them off the field.
Right.
If you give Brady enough shots.
Right. And that's the thing. That's also part, when you're talking about playing defense against a high-powered offense or playing against one of the greatest quarterbacks, Tom Brady, part of that defense is actually your offense converting third downs and sustaining long drives, keeping the ball out of his hands. That plays a part of it, too. So
let me interrupt you for a second. You just
defense.
Say, keep the ball out of his hands. You just say that? it was standard reason if you want to keep the ball out of his hands, you wouldn't win the toss and then get the ball to him. Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead. Yeah, all right, go ahead.
No, absolutely right. So that's part of the defensive strategy. So,
right.
Okay, part of our defensive strategy is going to be to run the ball
more than
just 15 times total in the game. And again, I understand being down a lot, you have to switch your strategy. But I think that when you saw them down 17-0 right before the half, you still calmed down. And this is when I thought, like, okay, they've got this strategy. They're going to stick with it. Right before the half, they calm down. They run the ball about seven times in that drive, a long, sustaining drive. It ends in a field goal right before halftime. And you're like, okay, it looks like they're going to be able to commit to the run. But then, again, you throw it all out of the window just because of one fumble, you know, in with that first draft and first drive in the third quarter. So anyway, Tom Brady, 26 for 39, 299 yards, two touchdowns, that one interception, only the second interception this season. LeGarrette Blount, who had 29 carries. I mean, he was just ramming the ball right through the defense, 129 yards and one touchdown for LeGarrette Blount. And then if I were to say that, there would be one Patriot receiver that had over 100 yards. You would assume maybe Edelman, maybe Amendola, likely Gronkowski, but it was Brandon LaFell.
Five
catches, 102 yards.
Well, that's the beauty of a Belichick coach team. They're so well prepared. They look at what the team is giving you. They can't possibly take everything away. So they tried to take away their weapons. And every time he tried to throw it to Gronkowski, if he didn't make it, it was like, oh, well, okay. They just didn't have to keep it on. But they couldn't cover everybody. And spending all this effort against Edelman and against Gronkowski, you leave LaFell open. And it's just, you know, you got Tom Brady. He's smart enough to realize what's going to be open. And he's smart enough to realize it early.
Right.
He realized it early. If his first option isn't going to be open early, he knows that. He just abandons it, goes to the second option. Because by the time he scouts the whole field, somebody's going to be open.
Yeah, it's interesting because the sideline commentator, Pam Oliver, on the Fox coverage was saying how she talked to Tom Brady. And he said his whole mentality is to anticipate what he's going to do and not necessarily think about it or question what he's going to do as far as post-snap. Is that all it is I anticipate what the defense is going to do, and then I just react to what I'm already anticipating. And it was interesting because you were talking about spreading the ball around. And so, yeah, Brandon LaFell, five catches. Edelman had five catches. Then Lewis and Gronkowski, four catches each. Brandon Bolden, three catches. Amendola, four catches. I mean, he's spreading the ball around to a lot of different guys. And then there's one catch for Scott Chandler. But, I mean, that's seven different guys with catches. And all and the lowest number, again, was the one with from Scott Chandler. But then Brandon Bolden, three. But everyone else, four catches and five catches. He's spreading the ball around a lot. And, by the way, there were 29 rushing attempts from your main back, but 37 rushing attempts overall. And that's a pretty well-balanced attack right there. But, again, we're talking about the Patriots. It all depends on your expectations.
Yeah, I think, again, I've harped on this almost every show. The 3-4 defense is an experiment that's just failed. I think they need to find a monster middle linebacker.
You know what? If I can interrupt you right there, I think that that's probably the most underrated bit of analysis when it comes to this defense in the last 4 to 5 years. Like, that is huge. You're right. This 3-4 defense should be abandoned, and it never worked here. It cannot work. For some reason, it just feels like there's a brand of football that's played in the NFC and by these NFC East teams that does not work with the 3-4 defense.
No, that
was
the reason.
Put that 4-3 back in there, and that's what they do. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's
probably the most underrated comment about this defense that I've ever heard in the last couple
of
years.
Yeah, you got to establish it. You need two strong tackles. You need speed rush from the outside. You need linebackers who can tackle and cover.
Right.
And that front seven, that'll make a secondary look good. That'll make a secondary look good. Now, you know, it's often commented that Joe Gibbs won the Super Bowl with three different quarterbacks. But if you look at those Super Bowls, every secondary he had was totally different, too. Mm-hmm. Every defensive front he had was totally different, right? So it's the NFC East especially, man, the brand of football they use. I know that people are trying to think that the EA Sports Madden football is the way to go. Spread it around, throw the ball 50 times a game. But this is the NFC beast, man. It's going to start getting cold here. Mm-hmm. The weather's going to start getting rainy here. And you got to have linebackers who can plug a hole, right? You got to have the outside linebackers with speed to prevent a running back from getting to the corners and can still cover a tight end. A 3-4 defense is good if you got the personnel.
Right.
But those personnel are rare, man. You know, the guys who can really play a good 3-4, they're really few and far between. I mean, the Ravens had a great 3-4 defense, but look at Seattle. That defense was awesome, too, and they ran a 4-3, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I just think that, and it's not a lot you can do with it midseason. And when the coach first got here, when they hired, man, see, I'm drawing a blank, the coach from the Chargers, the defensive coordinator, when he got here and he said he still was going to run a 3-4, I was very much Joe Barry. I was very disheartened, man. See, I tried to block his name out, you know, you know. But you know what? We do have to bring up I was going to say a bright point, but it was a down point, too. That's the special teams.
Oh, right, yeah.
You know, I was going to say they didn't give up anything, but they did. They gave up the onside kick out to the Patriots.
Right. Yeah, the surprise onside kick. And here's the thing. So they give up the surprise onside kick. I mean, he had the ball in his hands. I think that was Jamison Crowder. And then it kind of squirts loose. But, you know, here's the thing, and I think the statement that you just gave about the special teams kind of just talks about the state that the special teams where the special teams is. It's the fact that, you know, it's a good day on special teams if there's just no mistakes, if they just don't give up a big play. What about having a good day on special teams because you made a play? You made something happen. You caused the turnover or you returned the kick, something like that. You know what I mean? Well, coming back, we're going to have some comments from Coach Gruden, take you to the locker room. This is Kevin's favorite segment. And Kevin is so funny at this segment. I can't wait to hear this. He's going to tell you what the coach is really saying. Coming back on Federal News Radio and federalnewsradio.com.
Geico presents Strange Savings Stories. Jason Ray noticed a blue birthmark had appeared on his forehead in the shape of the Geico gecko. Jason felt compelled to switch his car insurance to Geico and save hundreds of dollars with great discounts. By nightfall, the birthmark had disappeared. Jason's wife, Jeannie, thinks it was probably just blueberry jam from breakfast. Jason prefers to believe otherwise.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
You've been thinking about switching to solar. Don't wait much longer or you'll miss out on this year's federal tax credit. Move quickly because the tide is turning. Solar power is becoming a threat to big energy profits. In fact, some power companies are even pushing for extra fees to make up for lost revenue. Warning, you must have your solar system up and running by midnight December 31st or you'll miss out on this year's federal tax credit. Energy prices are expected to increase by as much as 40% in the near future. Go solar now with no down payment, interest, or payments for a whole year. You can afford it because we finance. Get your government money and save big every month. Big Energy is getting nervous and the door of opportunity is about to slam shut. Paying $150 a month or more on energy bills? Then call 1-800-MY-SOLAR now for a free in-home assessment. 1-800-MY-SOLAR.
My home, my savings.
Getting your child home safely.
Tap your heels together 3 times.
Is just a click away.
There is no place like home.
But making sure your child is in the right seat is just one of the steps down the road to safer travels.
I don't know how it works.
Find the right seat for your little one's age and size. There's no better way to get home safely. Know for sure that your child is in the right seat.
How can I ever thank you enough?
Get all the facts at safercar.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Only in the forest can you see this. But nothing beats the moment you see that.
Cool!
That's your child's eyes opening up to a world of possibilities.
There are some moments only the forest can inspire. Find yours at discovertheforest.org. Learn about forests near you and discover cool things to do when you go. And you might just see this. Visit discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
And now back to Claude and Kevin and the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. You know, they aren't half bad for a couple of old guys.
Welcome back to the final segment of Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. FederalNewsRadio.com is the website. I'm Claude Jennings in with Kevin Stanfield. This is my favorite segment every time we do it. When we listen to the press conference and then Kevin gives his expert analysis of what the coach is saying and what he really, really means.
Translation.
So we waited this for the final segment. I can't wait to get going. Kevin, let's hear what the coach has to say.
Yeah, it didn't help. You know, when you're playing the best team on the road, you know, we got to make some plays. We didn't make enough plays to win this game to challenge the champs. So it's unfortunate. We're all disappointed in it. We didn't coach good enough, didn't play good enough. But we have a lot to work on before we play New Orleans.
What he really meant to say was, I am just in awe of these guys. We shouldn't be on the same field with them. I didn't want to come up, but they made me get on the plane. They made me get up. So I figured, what the heck? And they made me get on the plane. I thought they gave us these nice camouflage hoodies. I thought maybe they wouldn't see me, but they found us anyway.
We didn't have a chance to win, and I knew it. But that's right.
But hey, what can you say?
Here's the coach. They got to find a better way with these people asking questions to get their mic.
Some mic around or
come
something.
On.
I can do that.
Get somebody to stand there with a hot mic.
Really? Don't they know we want to hear
Nobody
the question,
hears
too?
This guy.
Never know, man. This one's in the books. You know, this one's just got to move past this one and chalk it up as a bad day. You know, we took some shots, and none of our shots went in today, unfortunately. And when you're playing, like I said, against a heck of a team like New England historically, that's great at home. You got to play your best. And we
What he said was none of our shots went in. What he meant to say was, I thought it was a basketball game we were playing. They didn't say we were playing football until we got up here. That guy Brady's pretty good, isn't he? Man, I wish we had a quarterback like that. If I had a quarterback like that and a tight end like that, the defense like that, I bet you I could win some games. That's what he's saying. That's what he's really saying.
More from the coach.
A little bit of everything. You know, we had some chances. They made their plays. We didn't. They called better plays, I guess.
Look at the film.
But we converted some third and longs there late. But
what was
late.
That?
You know, just couldn't get any drives going offensively to keep our defense fresh, and our defense had trouble getting off the field. You know, they played hard. You know, we had a couple turnovers in the first half and kept it close enough where offensively we should have made this a ball game. But we fumbled on the opening drive of the third quarter and never really gained control.
What the coach meant to say was, my players stink, man. You know, how come I can't get players like Belichick? How come I can't do it like that, right? You know, that's what he's trying to. He doesn't know what he's saying, actually. That, you know, I got to say something. You know, offense, defense, special teams, you know, three phases of the game, you know.
After a while, it all kind of gets old. It's all cliches. Yeah. Like, well, we fought hard and had a couple turnovers, but, I mean, they outplayed us.
They outplayed us and outcoached us. You know, they call better plays than us. Yeah, right? Matter of fact, I try to call Belichick at halftime and see if I can get some of his plays.
Yeah, well, if you were coaching this team, Bill, what would you do? What plays would you do in the second half?
It made it so bad Belichick gave me the plays, and we still couldn't stop him. Yeah, that's right. Okay, more from the coach here.
A thigh. I mean, I don't know what else you can do. You just got to recover it. Ball's bouncing weird. That's why they call it a pigskin, I guess. But Ryan would normally, he was in position. It wasn't like he was surprised or anything like that. He just.
He was talking about the onside kick.
I guess that's why they call it pigskin.
Yeah, yeah. What he meant to say, they call it pigskin because he used to make it out of pig skin. That's why they call it pigskin. Pig bladder, whatever, right? That's why they call it that. And it's not why that has nothing to do with the ball bouncing the way it does. They were ill-prepared for the onside kick. Then the players didn't make the plays. And the Patriots did. It worked for us this week. It worked for us last week. Did not work for us this week. Back to the coach.
Execution, you know, wasn't quite there for us, and we didn't have a lot of opportunities either, really, you know, and they had a good plan for him, and we just didn't make any plays there. He caught a couple balls late, but, you know, we just made nothing really happen on offense, unfortunately, give him some opportunities.
I'm assuming they're talking about DeSean Jackson and having him back in the game and what that meant. And it really meant absolutely nothing because, like I said, this is DeSean's first preseason game. It's going to take him a while. He was very tentative. He just didn't have that fire. It's like,
I mean, it's going to take him a while to get back, but it's also going to take him a second or two to work up chemistry with Kirk Cousins. I mean, you know, it's not as if these guys had, you know, tons of games to kind of work out chemistry things and get to, you know each other and things like that. Let's not forget that he hurt his hamstring trying to run to catch up to a ball that Kirk Cousins out threw him on what looked to be a go route down the field.
That?
Yeah, so you know, I don't know what he means by that, but it's going to take him time to get back acclimated. So I don't. It means nothing.
Let's see what else the coach is talking about.
Yeah, we just made some plays and kept the drive going. You know, I just felt like we never had the ball the first quarter. You know, they had a long drive, and then they got the onside kick, had a long drive.
Did he just say we never had the ball? Hold up. I got to back this up. Did he actually say we never had the ball?
Like we never had the ball the first quarter. You know, they had a long
drive. You know kicked what? The ball. You decided to kick the ball to Tom Brady.
You decided not to. Yeah. You decided to give him the ball. You would have had the ball. You won the toss, but you decided not to have the ball. And then you had the audacity to say in your press conference, well, you never had the ball. Wait a minute. I must not
it's
be
like
hearing
we
this
never
right.
Had the ball.
I must not be hearing this right.
you know, I just felt like we never had the ball the first quarter. You know, they had a long drive, and then they got the
Yeah.
Had a long drive. We got a turnover. Then we got
somebody had to translate that one for me because I don't understand that one at all.
Interception. So we just felt like we never got in a rhythm as far as calling plays. And unfortunately, they made the plays they had to, and we didn't. But we couldn't really get any kind of drive put together in a run game.
We never got into a rhythm calling plays.
Who calls the plays? Doesn't mean he wasn't calling them fast enough. Maybe they need to have a drummer on the sideline. One,
trying to
two,
rhythm.
Call the play. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's a coach's decision. We had to try him back there. We thought that Jaron's done some good things in practice and decided to give him a shot. Yeah, I mean, it's maddening. You know, I can't explain it. I don't know why. We had guys drop balls that don't drop balls very often. You know, you know, I'll throw it to him again and again and again, and I don't expect to drop ever again. You know, just one of those days. I don't know.
I wonder if anybody checked the air pressure.
See, if they were overly inflated because they couldn't seem to hold on to
it. They kept bouncing off. They might have been overly inflated.
Here's the thing. You know, look, it would have been nice for him to say that after the second drop and say, look, these balls are getting to you. You guys need, I don't expect to see another drop pass ever again today in this game. He waits until after the game's over to say, hey, we're looking for that fire, coach. We're looking for you to jump in somebody's face and say, you guys got to catch the ball.
Yeah, catch the ball.
It's not even windy, so Kurt's able to get the ball to you because the wind's not a wind is not a factor.
Because if the wind's a factor, man, although they played at Michigan and Michigan State, the wind's a factor. There's no telling. And they have only lost in like 8 games in Foxborough in a while. But the wind, it could be a big factor. Okay, let's stop making fun of the coach, man. He's had a devastating thing happened to him today. I mean, he lost to the best team in the league. But what they can't do, what they cannot do is accept that.
Right.
They can't say, it's the
Patriots.
They can't do that. They have to say, we're not good enough to beat the Patriots. We need to be good enough to beat the Patriots. This is what we're going to do. We have a game plan. This is how we're going to improve. Because, you know, this guy coming here next week is pretty good. This Breeze guy.
Yeah, let's talk about that. So you've got, the Redskins fall to 3-5 after a 27-10 loss to the Patriots in New England. Coming to town is the New Orleans Saints, who, by the way, just lost in a comeback, and again, at the time we're taping this, just lost in an overtime comeback from Tennessee. Tennessee down at one point, it looks like, 21-17, and then they fight their way back. They score a touchdown in overtime to beat the Saints 28-34. But you were just talking about Drew Brees, who lit up the Giants last week for 7 touchdowns. Drew Brees, 28 for 39, 389 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception. Mark Ingram, 21 carries, 52 yards. C.J. Spiller, 2 carries, 8 yards. And, they've got some great receivers there. So I don't want to say great, but some pretty good receivers. One, Benjamin Watson. When you talk about tight ends being able to stretch the field, there's one guy, Marquise Colston. I mean, so they've got some guys who can stretch the field. C.J. Spiller, obviously, out of the backfield as well. You've got a guy coming here next week who a lot of people, I mean, when you're talking about some of the elites, he's right up there when you're talking about, the Aaron Rodgers, and you're talking about the Tom Brady's. Drew Brees is, I mean, you're really only talking about a class of 3 guys, and he's one of the 3.
Yeah, and unfortunately, he's going to come in with a little fire because he wasn't playing well early in the year.
Correct.
And his defense isn't getting him a lot of support now with that shootout they had against the Giants and then what just happened against a rookie quarterback.
Yeah, you let Tennessee put up 34.
I think if the philosophy is going to have to be, we're going to have to outscore opposition. If Drew Brees comes in here with that philosophy, it's going to be a long day. It's going to be a very, very long day. What I would do, first of all, is if we win the cup, the toss,
I wouldn't give the ball to Drew Brees.
As a matter of fact, I'd accept the first half kickoff and the second half kickoff.
We'll take both of them, right?
Let's do everything we can to keep Drew Brees' hands, right? I'll see our friend Brian Arakpo had 3 tackles and 2 sacks today in the game. that's kind of interesting, right?
Could use that.
Yes, we needed one of those. Yep.
So I'm looking through that. Well, here's the thing. Like we said, it's a 27-10 loss to the Patriots. You don't want to accept that. You know what I mean? You want to come out better at home against the Saints. They're going to be ready to play. They're going to be fired up. They've got a quarterback that's ready to go. But again, they just lost to Tennessee, so it's not like this is a game that you can't win. You know what I mean? Even even that game against the Giants was close. They beat the Cowboys, but that was in overtime. This is not a game that they cannot, you know, win. And so this is a winnable game. It's at home. If you win this game, you're right at 4-5, still in the hunt for the NFC East. And so it's a win that you do need. I don't know whether it's code red material just yet.
The code red.
Yes, it might be, man.
We may need to order the code red for Monday because it seems like they'll play well or at least win by 1 point after a code red at home. So we'll see. We'll be back next week. Kevin's actually going to be at the game, and so you'll have some good thoughts right there from your nice box seats.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. From the box seats, right? I have the binoculars. They'll be at least like maybe what 10, 15 yards away from me.
Exactly.
I'll be able to see the sweat from Jay Gruden's brow during the course of the game.
So tune in next week on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com for the Federal Football Report.